I'm Charlie Keegan.
I'm Paul Thorpe.
I'm Barry Worthington, and this is the final Progress with Unity podcast of 2023. We finished off what has been a rather turbulent year with cracking 3 points, a clean sheet, and smiles back on the faces of everyone down at Wigan Athletic. I know Paul won't like this. I thought Josh McGuinness did all right.
Yeah, I completely agree. He did all right. He held the ball up well, didn't he, and brought us into play. Fair play to him. Obviously, took his penalty. Stuck a couple of other headers wide that perhaps he might have done better with.
Really surprised by the starting lineup when it came out. I thought, have I got the right one here? Because I saw Josh McGuinness up top and Asgard starting, no Callum Lang, no Chris Z, no Hiram McHugh. And I thought, what's going on? But obviously, we know Callum Lang's got a bit of a hamstring injury in training. And I think Chris Z and Hiram McHugh, it sounds to me like they're just being kept out of the limelight for a little bit just because of how much Maloney's been asking of them. And obviously, it's a lot of pressure. So they've done well when they've come in, but they just need a little time now to go away and further development. But generally, I thought Josh McGuinness did very well. He played a role that we really needed. And after sort of calling him out on the last podcast and saying one shot on target in however many minutes, he goes and scores within 16 minutes. So I was happy with that.
Charlie, I was stopped in the supporters club by more than one person who said, cannot believe that stat that was read out about Josh McGuinness. I said, well, don't be blaming me. It was nothing to do with me, that one. Charlie got us that stat. He's our stats man. Talking about stats, let's go through the stats. Possession, 57% for the Latics. Attempts, 19 to Carlisle's 12. On target, we had 3, Carlisle 2. Corners, 6 to 5. Fouls, 11 apiece. We picked up 4 yellows. Clure, Morrison, Watts and Shaw. Carlisle picked up 3 yellows. Attendance, 13,224, with a very commendable 4,128 away supporters. Sean Clure picked up his customary yellow card. I think he's the new Sam Morsey.
Have you seen the clip as well that's going around with him sort of arm around the neck of a Carlisle player and bringing him down? It doesn't look great, but yeah, his customary yellow card, I think, is right because he's been getting a few of them recently.
Yeah, a bit of a ding-dong with that Carlisle player, didn't he?
I've watched the highlights on Athletic's official. One thing I did notice on the highlights, which I missed at the game, Liam Shaw is in the post in the first few minutes. We could have been 4 up again at half-time against Carlisle, couldn't we? Which we could have been at Brunton Park early in the season. And then you wondered, you know, you start to wonder if they come back a little bit in the second half, are they going to catch it again? I don't think they ever were likely to, although Joe Garner will be wondering how we put that one wide.
You have got to look at that and goals change games. But if you take that chance out of it, I didn't ever feel like we were in any danger at all of not coming away with the 3 points. We were head and shoulders above them, weren't we?
Yeah, and we seemed to change our style of the way we played just a little bit. And obviously, talking stats, one that I did want to highlight and I found out was we attempted and completed the most long balls we have all season against any opponent. We tried 61 and completed 32. Charlie Hughes obviously did the most, that's usually what he does. But Liam Morrison attempted 10 long balls and he completed 9 of them. And his passing all season, I've been praising. I think he's brilliant on the ball. I think he's got the best passing stats we've got of any player. And Liam Morrison, for me, probably played his best game for us. Obviously, he got his goal. He hit the post earlier on. His passing was sensational. And I think that really drove us forward because Carlisle were just trying to creep up a little bit. And I think with McGuinness, the way he played really caused problems with the two centre-backs. And just because he was dragging them away, it gave Asgard a little bit of space to work in. And then the wingers weren't too sure. Do we come more centrally? Do we go wider? And then when they were caught in that transition, you had Johnny Smith and Humphreys hugging the wings. Asgard was spraying that really nice ball out to Johnny Smith quite a lot of the time and changing around with Humphreys. So I think we really, really worked their back line and we got our game plan pretty spot on in the first half. But yeah, the second half, they definitely came on to us a little bit more.
One thing I did notice about Liam Morrison, I highly rate Morrison, was Sean Clure's Insta clip, get it signed.
Sign da ting.
Signed a thing, that was. So yeah. It made my mind go into overdrive and wondering if we've agreed to bring him here permanently on a free transfer. And there's a contract on the tilt. Now, I might be a million miles wider than Mark with this, but if it was to happen, it would be an excellent signing for me because he is one for the future.
I think he's one for now as well as the future. But yeah, 20 years old. He's the same age as Charlie Hughes, and we're all praising Liam Morrison. I'm praising him as highly as Charlie Hughes now. And I think we sort of give Charlie Hughes the edge just because he's more our academy player and Liam Morrison is the one that's in on loan. But I think talent-wise, they're both very much on a par. So if Morrison is a player that you can get on a free, who knows what his transfer value is going to be down the line when we've still got him and we're maybe looking at sending him somewhere else. But no, I think he's if we can get him on a free, that'd be an amazing bit of business.
One thing that really amused Pete was the fact that Ben Turner was pulled. Oh, he didn't. The referee was changed. He weren't pulled at all, but the referee was changed. And we got Darren Drysdale who stepped in. He's not one to not award a penalty, shall I say, Darren Drysdale. And he had no hesitation in pointing to the spot when Stevie Humphries went down. And it was a nailed-on penalty. Paul's already mentioned the one by Clare on the Carlisle player. But there were two others in our favour as well. There was an handball, which was a clear handball in the box. And then when Liam Shaw, I thought, what a great defensive header he did when he was underneath the crossbar and he put it over. But he was clearly shoved in the back there as well, weren't he, as he was jumping up. And that was another penalty that could have been awarded.
The one that was given on Humphries, you could have given that before he even got into the box, couldn't you? You could see exactly what was coming a mile off. No question with that one at all. It was definitely a penalty.
Yeah, you could see it just when he was running in. I thought he's going to trip him. He's going to he's tripped him. And there's no way that you could argue with that one. I was a bit surprised that it was McGuinness who stepped up to take it. I thought maybe Humphries is going to step up and just bury this one and put the other two that he missed to bed. But no, Humphries, he gave it to McGuinness. But I said it at the time, Diego Forlán, when he played for Manchester United, could not hit a barn door, and David Beckham gave him a penalty. And then when Forlán scored that, he couldn't stop scoring. So just watch this. It's going to be Josh McGuinness's arch now, and he's going to start scoring a lot.
That trick away at Barnsley on New Year's Day. It's coming.
He's getting in that United
coming,
squad,
Josh.
Isn't he?
It's coming. The substitutions. Humphries had to go off on 51 minutes. Got a dead leg. A decoy, Wycombe at Manamon for Johnny Smith, Josh McGuinness, and Tello Asgard on 67. So Tello's being eased back into the fray. And thought he had a really good game. He looked very, very composed on the ball.
It shows you, doesn't it? And going back to what you're saying about the young lads being rested, whilst we're bemoaning the squad not being deep enough and we've had injuries, we are still managing to rotate players around and keep people in decent shape. Like you say, Asgard, play a bit, look all right, but we're not forced into using him. Godo's on the bench, he doesn't get on. Again, looking after the players by using the whole squad.
Yeah, and we talk about how we've kind of looked a little static in the midfield in some games, and that's prevented us going forward. And sometimes when we've gone forward, I'm not too sure what to do with it. But I think I'm going to call it a midfield trio with Asgard a little bit further up. But Asgard further up with Liam Shaw, I don't know where he was actually playing, but he seemed to cover every single blade of grass. He was just running around everywhere. And then Scott Smith, I thought, was very, very good. And the three of them worked really well. And I wonder if that's going to be something that we start with at Barnsley again, just because of how fluid it sort of worked. And Humphries, the size of that balloon that he said was on the side of his hip, I don't know if that's going to keep him out of the Barnsley game. But Johnny Smith was a lot better. Asgard barely put a foot wrong. And it was a nice attacking performance, I think.
There was a point within about 30 seconds where I saw Liam Shaw being the right centre-back in a back five, and then he was the right centre-forward in a front two at one, like 30 seconds later. So he absolutely covered every blade of grass, and fair play to him.
One goal was a good old call. He was on the bench. To be honest with you, I'm glad he didn't get on the pitch. Hopefully we'll see a little bit of him against Barnsley. There was some bigger fish to fry coming up over the coming weeks than Carlisle, so let's make sure he's 100%. But it was good to see him back involved again in the matchday squad.
Yeah, I think he's one that you don't really want to rush back too soon, and you want to just let his injury fade out naturally and not try and put him in. I think we've maybe done that a couple of times this season where we brought somebody back just a little too soon just because we really need them. I put a tweet out the other day saying who's the most exciting player, and a lot of people were putting Godo because he's just mesmerising when he gets on the ball, and his pace and energy, his directness. It's something that we have missed this season since he's been out.
It makes absolute sense, doesn't it, to wait an extra game, give him an extra 2 or 3 days, then risk him and then lose him for another 3 or 4 weeks. Good common sense, but it just takes a bit of bravery on the manager to not risk them when it's a player of that quality.
So a good game from the Latics, back to winning ways. Finished the year off in style with a 2-0 home win. Some good performances throughout the team. I thought Morrison, who we mentioned, was really good. Sittle, again in goals. Charlie Hughes played very well. We mentioned Asgard, McGuinness. But the man of the match, as voted for by our listeners on both Facebook and Twitter, almost unanimous, Latics number 16, Liam Shaw. So well done. I think we mentioned everybody there, haven't we?
Well, that's what you do when you have a good game and you win reasonably comfortably, and they do all play reasonably well. A
couple of things to mention. It looks like the signing of a fire from Brighton is a bit of a done deal. Coming in on loan, a highly regarded defender at Premier League club Brighton. He's been on loan up in Scotland, but he suffered a bit with, I think it's been more of an illness than an injury. We can confidently say this is going to happen in the next couple of days.
Yeah, he's 21 years old, English centre-back, can also play right-back. And it's very hard to gauge a player just from a showreel on YouTube, but he looked quite confident on the ball, likes to progress it forward. And I think he probably shares a lot of the similar qualities that Charlie Hughes and Liam Morrison have, where they're not afraid to take a man on 1v1 in the defensive phase, try and get past them and then spread the ball forward. He likes to do that. He also likes to get down the right wing. So yeah, it's just he's had two health scares. I think one was in September and one was in November. He's had to go to hospital and have checks and everything. I don't know what the health scare was, but apparently he has been given the all clear, and it cut his loan at Hearts early. And obviously went back to Brighton. And Jensen Weir's dad is obviously the guy at Brighton who makes a lot of these decisions on loans and things. So that could very well be the link between a fire coming to Wigan.
Rakic's gone back to Arsenal for some treatment. So and his loan deal does end in the next few days. So we might not be seeing Omar back. Although Maloney has said that they've been talking about extending it. But he's not been used too much, has he? So he might be looking elsewhere to go and get some more regular football. And that could be a case with, I was thinking about this. I like Kel Watts. I know a lot of people said he doesn't suit the system, but I do like Kel Watts. But he's not playing so much, is he? And he needs to play regular. So he could be another one, perhaps cutting his loan deal short, to the effect that we've recalled Robinson from St Johnstone. And I know Charlie would be pleased about this because he'd been questioning this for a couple of weeks now, aren't you?
Yeah, and I think Maloney's been saying it in his press conferences that he's always been talking with Luke, and just to see, I say Luke Lebron, first name, always been talking with Robinson. So just to see what he wants to do as well, because I like when we see a loan out, even if it's not 100% going to plan, I kind of like when you just see it out just to let them have the development. But it must be a mutual thing that Robinson does want to kind of come back and make a case for more game starts here. Maloney obviously thinks he needs him, but the St Johnstone fans, they're very, very happy with the way it's gone. I think he got 6 clean sheets in 18 games. A lot of people saying there was barely a cross came in from his side. It was everywhere. I watched the Celtic game and I thought he was very, very good against Celtic. So I'm interested to see how much he plays when he comes back. I hope with him coming back, he does play quite a lot. And it's obviously going to help ease with our defensive issues, but also Tom Pearce not rushing him back from injury too much, because we know he has a few injury concerns.
And talking of loans, Josh Stone on the score sheet again, but this time he got injured.
Yeah, 39th minute, I think he came off. I think that's 3 goals and 3 assists now in 4 games for Oldham. He says that his injury is not going to be too serious, hopefully, but I did see a picture that he was in a boot when he was sat on the bench in the second half. So I don't know, how is that precaution? Is it something that's a little more serious? We don't know. Will it cut his loan short and he comes back? I don't know, but hopefully he gets a couple more games there and then comes back to us.
A bit of news around the club. One person has left. That has now been confirmed. Dr. Jonathan Tobin has been with us for a number of years. He's been on the podcast a couple of times. There's a great Latics short that he did for us, and he talks about the Latics being a family. And it's sad to see him go, but he's given his reasons. He wants to spend more time with his own family. He's been working 7 days a week as he's a GP. But it's still sad when we lose somebody who's such a good positive character as well.
Yeah, it's the calibre of the person, isn't it? Because, like you say, obviously you've got the Charlie White thing, but I think he did a lot for the positivity of the supporters during lockdown. Well, during the second era of struggles. He connected with a lot of supporters, didn't he? Even just with bits and bats. And I remember one particular time when the team weren't playing particularly well. There's a lot of pelters going in. He just reminded everybody that from fairly early on in the season, there's players playing with knocks under sort of medication to play, and the human side and the human element of actually turning out week in, week out and pulling everything out for the sake of the football club. And I think that sort of made a few supporters sort of question their own behaviour in terms of the abuse that they were dishing out to the team that was not winning week in, week out, and get behind the team and support the lads that are trying to do the best for you. And I think that helped massively.
Yeah, definitely, Paul. He's a really positive character. Roberto Martinez was at the supporters club on Saturday receiving his past player's badge, but also accepting the presidency of the supporters club. And he said, some people come to work for Wigan Athletic and they just don't get it. And they're never successful. But other people do get it and the club's with them for life. And I just thought it was such a wonderful thing to say. So obviously he gets us. And I think Jonathan Tobin does as well. That's, you know, he's part of that breed of people who come and work for the club that do get us. And I agree, there are some people who don't. New year on the horizon and we're off to Oakwell. And we've managed to grab a quick word with Ian Hope from the Reds report. So let's have a little listen to how this went earlier today. We kick off the new year at Hopewell. And I'm very pleased to say from Reds report, got Ian with us. How are you doing, Ian?
Very well. Thank you, Barry. Thanks for inviting me on.
Start off with Happy New Year.
Yeah, all the best to you. Yeah, apart from tomorrow.
Just chatting off further about the game down at our place in August. We'd had some good results and you were, I think it was hovering around mid-table, but pushing up, were you, at the time? And then you got the win. I don't think you've looked back since, have you?
Probably not. No, I think was my prediction something like a 3-1 home win that day or something? Because we were really, yeah, I didn't expect that performance from us. You know, you take away the red card, we were playing well when it was 11v11, and we seemed to tactically, I thought, on that day, clicked because we played superb on the break and really stretched you. Hence, I think that's why where the red card came from, hitting you on the break. And yeah, I never saw that performance come in so early in the season, such turnover of staff. And you'd started the season really well. And I know you dampened expectations down saying, oh, you know, I'll be happy if we like finish at mid-table. But it was intriguing for us to go away and play so well. And I think it's been a feature of our season that we've actually been better away than we have been at home.
I was going to come to that later on, but we might as well hit that nail on the head whilst we're here. Yeah, your away form has been electric. Home form, not so much. And a little stat I'd like to throw in. The only time we've lost at your place was when we was a non-league club in 1954 in the FA Cup. Other than that, we've never lost at Oakwell. I mean, that is some stat, isn't it?
It is. I wasn't aware of it until you told me a few minutes ago. And I was like, oh, no, you've sort of darkened my mood now for tomorrow. Because it probably might continue. Two things have happened. We struggled against the top six, seven teams. And we've had a lot of them at home. And we've not even laid a glove on them. Just recently, things have turned around. We beat Stevenage at home and we got a really good 2-2 at Peterborough the other night. Probably our most complete 90 minutes, I think. Or certainly the first 45 minutes were electric. So we struggled at home, but generally we've tended to teams that are in the sort of mid-table down, we've got the points. We've struggled against the better sides. That's where we've been found out. So it'd be intriguing tomorrow because, yeah, the home form's not great. You've got this great record at Oakwell, but we've started to hit a bit of form. So, yeah, prediction will be interesting.
Just throw another stat in. The referees, the same ref that ref us at our place, Seb Stockbridge, and he's refereed a Barnsley v Wigan fixture on two occasions. This will be his third. And the previous two have both finished 2-0. To the away side. One was at Oakwell, so we won that one, and you done us at our place. Going back to the last time we spoke, I asked you about your new boss, Neil Collins, and you said when you was linked with him, you had to Google him. I don't suppose you need to Google him now, do you?
No. He's obviously had a long playing career, played for a number of clubs, played at quite a decent level, played at this level, played in this area as well around South Yorkshire and stuff. So he knows it, but managerial, I think he's only about 39, 40. He's not old. His second job after being at the Tampa Bay Rowdies, which are in the league below the MLS. I think it's called the ALS or something, but it's not the top league where you're like Inter Miami are, etc. So it's his first proper big job and scrutinised. You know, I've changed a little bit my opinion, more positive towards him. There were periods through the autumn where he doesn't always have a plan B. If plan A is not working, doesn't really have a plan B. His subs are very like for like. He's not been able to change games when they've been in the balance, and he's coming for a bit of criticism for the style of play because we've been so used to playing like a pressing type of football on the front foot, having a go at teams, and fans like that. Fans like to see that, a bit of sweat on the shirt And this time it's been a bit more it started off a bit more possession based. Just recently, I think when you've got to factor in, it's his first proper like bigger job. The overhaul we had in the summer, losing so many of all our best players went to the Premier League or to top championship clubs, and we've recruited players from League Two and non-league to replace them. You know, whole new management structure. After what happened last season, the expectations after getting to the playoff final, I think where we sit now on New Year's Eve, I wrote a piece for our site and I said, you know, there's reasons to be cheerful. I think quite happy where we are, really. We're not blowing the league away. We didn't think we would. We thought it might be actually a season of just change, you know, settling down kind of thing. But actually to be in the mix and I look at like, you know, where Charlton are, you know, Blackpool are, Reading, I know they've got financial issues. They'd be quite happy. They'd like to be where we are, games in hand on the top six, just in you know, in the cusp of the playoffs. Yeah, he's steadied the ship. He's done all right.
You mentioned there about the overall in the summer. Looking at your players, I mean, you've got 16 goal scorers, which is quite impressive. 11 assisters. So, you can see it's coming from all over the pitch. Obviously, the standouts, you've got Devante Cole and Herbie Kane, and we know all about those. But the one I wanted to talk to you about, he made his debut against us in August for yourselves. He came on. He had a bit of a her shot and missed basically an open goal. And then he got the second goal in the game. Very late on. John McAtee. Now, I see he's been tearing up the form with goals and assists.
He has. He made himself a bit of an instant hero in that game because I went to the game at the 2-0 in August, and coming out of the ground, fans had instantly made a song for him. He was like, I'd spoken to some guys who run a Luton fan site and they were just waxing lyrical about him, saying it's a perfect club for him to go to. They're fully expecting to be back in the Championship next season, and that's probably his level. He's not quite Premier League, but he's a very, very good Championship player, and you can see that. He's had a few games where he's gone without goals, and Colin, we're quite blessed with strikers this season, and he's been able to rotate them, so McAtee's been in for a few games and then on the bench, but just recently, I think he's having his own goal of the season competition. Some of the goals he's scored, he scored that chip lob against Horsham in the Cup, on the telly. And then just recently, he's been hitting him from like, don't give him the ball with 25, 30 yards, he'll have a go. He's one of them players that you can see he's too good for League One and he's got quite a good future, but he's obviously not quite at the level where Luton are to be pushing for a first team place in the Premier League. He's been a great loan signing this season.
What's your prediction? Your score prediction, Ian?
This season has been the toughest to predict a scoreline. I don't think I might have had one right all season so far. We're always good for both teams to score if you're ever going to put a bet on us, because we can ship goals. But with, like you were saying about the goals we've scored, I think we're one of the highest scorers in the league. I think Peterborough are the highest, but I think we're somewhere like second or third. And they come from all over. You mentioned Herbie Kane. He's got 3 goals and 3 assists in the last 5 games. He's on fire from midfield. I'd like to think we're going to score, but you might get one as well. I mean, you've said this 2-0 business with Stockbridge and 2-0, you know, and as a professional club, never losing at Oakwell. I just hope that's going to happen eventually. There'll be one goal in it. I think 2-1 to Barnsley, I'll go. I just think it'd just be so typical of us after having such a great Christmas. We came from behind against Stevenage and beat them at home. We won at Port Vale after being 3-0 up at half-time. We got a great point at Peterborough, could have and probably should have been more. A victory tomorrow would be a very, very good festive period for us. But it's just like us to fall at the, you know, when everybody's really getting into it and going, oh, we're going to go into the January transfer window. You know, everything's looking positive. It's just like us to lose 2-0 at home tomorrow. So, you know, that's kind of summed our season up. If we were playing at Wigan, I'd be like, oh, yeah, away form's great. It's just like us to not turn up tomorrow and get beat. I hope I'm wrong, but that's kind of been our season.
Ian, that's a brilliant note for me to leave it on. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're
best
welcome.
Of luck for the rest of the season after tomorrow, of course.
All the best, yeah.
I enjoyed the listen from Ian. Obviously, very passionate Barnsley fan, and I think he's going to be quietly happy with the way it's going. But I think Barnsley are a team for me that just need that little bit extra. I don't want to say they're a nearly team, but they're so close to just cementing a position in the top six, and it's just not quite getting there for them. But I do have to give them a lot of credit. I don't think they've lost since November the 11th. I think when they lost 3-0 to Derby was the last time. They've been on an incredible run. Like you were saying there, 16 goal scorers, 14 assisters. and they've got 45 goals. So they're second best in the league with Peterborough, who've got the most, but Peterborough just been on an incredible run. But they do have a game in hand as well on Stevenage and Oxford, and they're only a point behind them. And Stevenage are in fifth, so it could leapfrog them in. But it's all about trying to just cement that position now. And overall in the league, they've got 12 wins, 6 draws and 5 losses in the 23. Like I said, scored 45, just conceded 27, which is more than anybody in the top 5. So I think that's just been a bit of an Achilles heel. But Devante Cole's been sensational. I wish he had that form when he was playing for us, but this is clearly his home. He's really happy there. And 13 goals and 3 assists. Herbie Kane as well. I'm sure he came from Liverpool. I'm sure he was one of the Liverpool Youth Academy players. But he's got 5 goals and 5 assists. And yeah, John McAtee, he got his first goal involvement against Wigan earlier in the season. And December's been his best month. But overall, he's got 6 goals and 3 assists, 4 goals and 1 assist just within this month alone. So he's obviously in very, very good form coming into our game, which is a little worrying for me because I think he's a tricky player. He's 24, more of a left-sided forward, but he's going to cause us a lot of problems. Probably going to be playing against your Sean Clare side and your Liam Morrison side. So that's something we're going to have to be very much on top of. But yeah, the last few games, they've got 4 wins and 2 draws, just 1 defeat in the last 13 games. So yeah, they're going to be in very good form when we go and visit them, but we haven't lost there. So that's something to take a bit of pride in.
It is. And the manager's done very well, Neil Collins. I know he was a bit unsure about him early season, but he's done well for him. So, yeah, good stuff. Referee, we've got a bit of a familiar name, Paul.
It's the go-to referee for Latics Barnsley games. It's a fella from Newcastle, Geordie official Seb Stockbridge. He's 39 years old, and he's been a nationalist referee since the 2013-14 season. Seb Stockbridge has refereed the Latics 9 times in the past, and if that's ringing bells in your head, well, it's no surprise, because the last time he refereed either the Latics or Barnsley, it was the reverse fixture back in August at the DW Stadium, where he red-carded Charlie White as the Tykes ran out 2-0 winners. That was the second Latics game that Stockbridge had taken charge of when they played Barnsley. The other one was in December 2015 at Oakwell, and that game was also a 2-0 away win, this time the Latics picking up the clean sheet and the 3 points. His card watch this season, Seb Stockbridge has refereed 20 games, dished out 107 yellows, dished out 1 red, and awarded 14 penalties. That's Seb Stockbridge, who'll referee the trip to Oakwell on New Year's Day.
Almost a penalty a game. I mean, what a 14 penalties out from 20 games. He's not afraid to point to the spot. Previously, we've played Barnsley 17 times. We've won 6, drawn 6, and lost 5. Only one of those defeats have come at Oakwell, and that was in 1954, as I mentioned in the interview with Ian. 1954 in an FA Cup tie. So that's how far back we're going. So since we've joined the league, it's been a happy hunting ground for the Latics. Our last meeting was back in August, as Paul's mentioned there, a 2-0 defeat at the DW Stadium. I remember going to Oakwell under Gary Caldwell, and our season seemed to be going nowhere in particular, and we got a great victory that day. 2-0 win. I think Seb Stockbridge was the referee that day as well. In fact, I know he was. But didn't half kick our season on, and we ended up winning the league. I think this is going to be a really, really tough game. Ian's gone for a home win of 2-1. I'll take anything I can from this game. Barry's prediction, Barnsley 1, Wigan Athletic 1.
Well, I know you've been doing your homework on Barnsley, watching Michael Parkinson documentaries. Unfortunately, I did my homework watching the Chuckle Brewers, so I know all about Rotherham. I think you've got to look at this. There's a bit of a gap building at the top, isn't there? Except, you know, if you put some points on for the games in hand, Barnsley are in a group of 7 at the top that are starting to pull away. So it's going to be a tough game. They're going to want to get their own back. However, like you say, it's been happy hunting ground down the years. Balance all that up, and I'm going to say 0-0.
Yeah, I think the last sort of poor run that we were on, it took the Fleetwood Cup game for us to really turn it around and kick it on. And the Latics, they passed the eye test as well as passing the scoreline test. They passed the eye test in that second half against Fleetwood, and we looked very good. And I felt the sort of same when we played Carlisle. I thought, they're passing the eye test here. We're actually looking really good, but the stats are obviously there to back it up. So it was a very complete performance. And I think that maybe is just going to turn our form around a little bit, especially with a few people coming back. But Barnsley have got 17 points at home, 25 away. So the home form's not as good as the away form. And I thought they were very good when they played us, albeit down we got down to 10 men. So I think if we can carry on this momentum into the Barnsley game, I do think we can get something out of it. But I do think that it's going to be a draw as well. But I'm going to say 2-2. So I think we've got three draws, three different scores there.
It's not going to define our season whichever way this game goes. But I would snatch your hand off for a draw. Well, that's it for 2023. We've had quite an interesting year in one way or another, but we've made it to the end of the year. So I just, on behalf of us all here, like to wish our listeners a very, very happy new year and 2024 with some really positive things to look forward to.
I think the old adage of we're in better shape now than we were last December applies, doesn't it? And things certainly look up as we go into 2024.
All the best. Happy New Year. Up the ticks. And come on.
Happy New Year. Up the ticks.
Happy New Year. Up the ticks.